Hello, everyone, and welcome to What is Real Estate Podcast, episode number two. We've made it to number two as our commitment to you guys. It's great. My name is Nathan Graham. Myself and Dion are hosting this this podcast. And welcome, Dion, on, I don't know, do you guys have sunny weather there?
We do. It's so bright. I actually had to switch my seating here because the way all the lights coming in here, it was like blinding me.
That's awesome. See, Durham region, welcome to all this beautiful weather that we have all the time. I had a little bit of rain, but we have some sun poking out now. So anyways, let's dive right into it. This may not be a full 30-minute podcast conversation. It's a little bit different. Today, we're talking about the metrics of success. And what's interesting about the metrics of success is I feel this is a conversation that people have, yet they don't have it in depth, and I'm not trying to sound rude, but they don't really have it knowing what they're actually talking about. Like, they've never actually studied a metric of success, right? And furthermore, just quickly, I'll see if you agree with this, Dion. I find a lot of people in the world today that, and yes, this expands past real estate, though, they create metrics of success that are unachievable, mm-hmm. right? Or very far out of reach.
Right.
Right.
So I mean, like, it's good to have like good big goals, but mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. Like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. They create almost like a perfect world metric of success. Right. So as an example, if we see a lot of people get into real estate right out the gate and they're like, my first year, I'm going to do 24 deals. That is completely an achievable goal. And if you can definitely use that as a metric of success, if you are not out lead generating 5 days a week, if you're only doing a couple open houses a month and then talking to a few people, then I would not be using that as a metric of success because the work doesn't sustain the goal. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally makes sense.
So I want to frame this conversation when we talk about metrics. And then, Dion, I'll get you to chime in with any conversations or thoughts that come to mind. So I want to frame this conversation. So I don't have the book with me, but if you ever get a chance to read The Subtle Art of Not Giving
That's a good book. I read that like twice, I think. I know. It is so good.
It's amazing. So you're going to hear this metric of success based off of that book. Yeah, so it's a definitely a good book.
If you haven't read it, you guys have to read it. It's fantastic. And you can actually listen to it too if you don't like to read.
Oh, yeah, no. When I say read, by the way, it is 100% audiobook.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah. Audiobooks are amazing. I never used to listen to them. That's one of the things successfully I started to listen to books that are about, you know, goal setting and whatever else, because I didn't like reading them. So the listening made it so much easier.
And it's a little bit off topic, but I just want to throw it out there. Something that I love doing too is I'll often listen to a book once or twice. And if I love it, and then I'll buy the hard copy because that'll allow me just to skim through it and pick up all the key parts that I need.
Right. Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So it's fun. Okay. So I don't know.
Look at you setting goals and getting tasks done.
So I don't know if you all know who Dave Mustaine is, but he's probably one of the most fascinating people. These are two stories about two quick people, the most fascinating people. So Dave Mustaine was a guitarist. He was one of the founding members of Megadeth back in 1983. Now, I know a lot of people weren't exactly into the heavy metal scene, and I personally wasn't very crazy growing up. Yet, to talk about the impact that Megadeth had in that world on America is a huge conversation. Like, it changed heavy metal to a degree for the longest time. All you have to do is watch one Beavis and Butthead episode, and you'll fully see what I'm talking about. The story of him is he was a part of another band, and this other band was about to go to California to sign a contract to start doing record labels. And that's a very rare thing in the world, allegedly. I'm no musician. And they get to California and they sit down with him and say, listen, we're going to sign this contract, but you're out, Dave. We do not want you as a guitarist of the band. And they sent him packing home. So if you can imagine having this extremely rare opportunity and going back, and on this ride home, he's like, I'm going to make a difference. You know, by the time he got off that bus on the way home, he's like, I'm going to start something. So he started Megadeth. Just some quick stats. Megadeth went on to sell 38 million albums worldwide,
wow,
reaching 6.5 million copies in the U.S. very, very successful. When interviewed about it, though, and asked if he thought he was successful, ironically, he came through and said no, that he felt he failed every single day of his life. The reason why is that band he got kicked out of was Metallica. And Metallica went on to sell 120 million records worldwide and 64 million albums in the US.
So he was stuck comparing.
Exactly. So his metric of success, and what I really want to convey here, his metric of success was how well he did compared to Metallica.
Right. And actually, that's one of the rules of measuring success, that you shouldn't actually do that. You shouldn't be comparing yourself to others.
Exactly. Now, how many times, though, when we get in the industry, are we, or we start an adventure, and I'll be honest, I get caught up in this still to this day, 14 years later, I still get caught up. Are we like meeting a realtor and we think, man, I cannot wait to achieve that person's success?
I mean, I think, sorry, I have allergies. Sorry, I'm going to clear my throat a few times and I'm pretty sure it's going to annoy everybody listening. I feel like when you are meeting somebody who's done amazing things, like you can admire them and you can set out goals to maybe achieve what they have, or sit down with them and ask them how they got there. But I feel like we do get caught up in comparing ourselves and our success to other people, which is just, it's not great, because maybe you can't ever do what those people are doing, because they did that. That was their pathway, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to actually, you know, think about it, and where do you want to go? You could be like, oh, I'd like to do, like, what was the most recent one I heard? 500 deals a year. Like, I can't even imagine.
Wait, we're doing, right? It.
I can't even imagine doing 500 deals a year. But I mean, if I don't get there, I'm not going to beat myself up for it, but I'd like to learn and try it. I mean, how do you get there? But I think you have to learn to set maybe steps, right? Would you say, like, if you wanted to achieve something as big as that, you need to set actual steps and then plan that out and work each level to get there, right? You can't just like go, I'm going to do 500 deals and assume that it's going to happen. I'm sure there's like metrics involved to get you to that, obviously, right? So
100%. And so I definitely agree with you. You need to plan those steps. You need to get there. And I want to be very clear to everybody that's listening. We're not telling you to dream small. Like, no. Both Ian and I dream big. We dream huge. I envision my brand going worldwide. We dream very big. What we're saying, though, is that metric of success. If you focus on that 500 deal and you don't set the pathway, the pattern, don't follow the model to get there, and then, or even you do follow the model to get there, and come the end of the year, you did 450 deals. The question is, how do you feel about yourself?
Right.
At that moment, right? Like, do you look and say, hey,
proud.
Yeah, I did 450 deals. I'm amazing, or I rocked it. Or are you like, I didn't do my 500.
Right. So like, whether you get disappointed or not in not achieving that goal, I think you got to be able to pat yourself on the back. Like, I don't think you should be so hard on yourself, I guess. I think it's so successful that you set out on a path, on a journey to do something. And you get there almost. I mean, I guess, well, look at some athletes like Michael Jordan, and like, they practice like every single day. Like, I don't know if you ever saw the thing on Netflix about him. He was such a leader, and he was like practicing and doing. And he every single day to become the best at what he was. And like, I know he did get down on himself if they didn't win the championship or they didn't get the end goal. So how do you, I guess I feel like, man, you did that. That's fantastic. But how do you not get upset if you don't get the all there? Like, what do you have any?
Well, it's like, I think even before that upset part, I think it's really defining what the metric of success, because I don't know if you've even achieved this or felt this either. When you achieve a goal, sometimes it doesn't also come with what you thought it would.
Right.
Right. So like, as an example, I remember thinking every successful person in the world drives convertibles. That's just like, well, growing up, that was what I saw. If you were successful, you drove a convertible. And so one day I got myself a little, I don't know if you remember it, my Mini Cooper Sports convertible. I love that car. It was so much fun. And yet every day I still did not feel like I achieved success. And this was, by the way, like that Mini Cooper convertible was my metric of success, right? And so this interesting thing kind of comes into play is, have you ever just achieved a goal that you set out to do and you get there and yet it's so mundane, you still feel like you're still struggling that you sometimes don't even realize that you hit the goal?
I think that has to go along with not feeling good enough, though. I wonder if that stupid feeling that gets in your head about just not feeling good enough, if you've already achieved your goal and you're not feeling good about it, or maybe along the way your metric of success changed and you didn't know.
Mm-hmm. So I think what you're touching on, which you're absolutely correct on, is when we make our metrics of success something that is either out of our control or always chasing something bigger or always chasing something more amazing, that is a never-ending treadmill to get caught on. So for example, if your metric of success is 24 deals this year, and that is how you're going to find success, and what I mean by that metric is I mean at the end of the year, you don't achieve that, you feel like a failure. When you do achieve that, it's not going to make you feel good. It's like, then you need to do 25, or then you need to do 50, or then you need to do 70, and then you need to do 100. And what you're constantly doing is you're on this like treadmill of just constantly chasing more and more and more and more. Like think of Megadeth, man, like 38 million records worldwide compared to 120 by Metallica. Like at 10 million, they're like, great. At 20 million, great. At 30 million, great. But they just kept chasing more and more and more to this standard that, because it was unhealthy metrics, they never really achieved it.
Right.
And we'll be bold, and we could also discuss both sides of this, but I will be bold and say, I'm actually beginning to believe that, making financial goals, and I'm not talking about setting financial goals, but I'm talking making your finances and making your deal count a metric of success, is a very unhealthy thing to do. And I'd be really careful on that. Right. And I'm not saying you don't set goals. Again, I'm not saying you don't set a pathway. You 100% a pathway. But by a metric of success, and I guess to define it, it is not what defines you as a success or a failure by achieving that. Or not achieving that. Does that make sense?
No, explain more.
Okay, perfect. Okay. So no, that's good. Cause it's
I think the listeners are gonna feel some, maybe not all, but some listeners are gonna feel the same way too.
Yeah. And by the way, I could be 100% wrong on this. I'm okay if
these are just opinions, right?
Yeah, this is just my thoughts coming out.
You're not a doctor or have any like background in this. So, like, exactly. This is just your opinion, right? Yeah.
So let's just have some fun. So what's your goal? What's your deal goal this year?
To get as many as I can.
Nice, I love it. Okay, do not set goals with that. We need measurable goals, people.
So for myself, I would like to do 50. That's my, just for myself. Right. That's not team included. That's cool. Just myself. Like, and I think that I can handle that many personally. I know there's other people that do bigger than that, but look at me. Do you see what I'm doing? I'm not good enough. I'm basically telling you my goal is not good enough. But right, I don't know why I'm doing that. My goal is 50. I want to do 50. That's what I want to do this year.
So if you achieve 47 deals this year, would you feel like a failure and want to potentially leave the industry?
No.
Okay. So what I'm saying is that's a great goal to have. And it's fantastic that you're not using that as a metric of success.
Right.
And I'm going to set this up. I'm literally setting this up for you because I know you. If you did 55 deals this year, yet not a single one of those people would refer you a client, would you feel like a success?
No.
No. So your metric of success isn't the deal count. It's something behind the deal count. And this is why I think it's unhealthy when you make the metric of success your deal count or your income or whatever case may be. Because, for example, if my metric of success is to make $500,000, there are things I will not do to earn that. But if it's truly my metric of success, I will do anything to earn that. And right. That's what makes it a crappy metric of success. Does that make more sense?
Does now. Okay. Does now. So everybody else, I hope that it makes sense to other people. It definitely makes sense to me now.
All right. So let's dive deeper into that. If what in this world, okay, so 50 is a goal, but at the end of the year, if you look at yourself and you say, you're just like self-reflecting, you're like, man, Dion, I am so proud of myself. I feel so successful because of blank. To you, at the end of the year, when you look back, what gives you the most pride or the most feeling of accomplishment in your business?
Customer satisfaction. Perfect. Customer satisfaction, people, you know, telling or knowing that we did a good job for them. Like you said, if I get a referral or a few referrals or my business stays at the referral business rate that I'm at, that makes me proud that, you know, I really do not ever want to work people like a number. I want to work them as if they're like family or close friends, right? Like, so for me, yeah, it's nice to be able to have that financial goal or the account. But if I did that and I wasn't as great as I thought I could have been, that would bother me.
All right. So do you know what your referral rate is? It's okay if you do or don't.
98%.
So 98% of the people will refer you business?
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Now, sorry, is it 98%? Is that where your business comes from?
Yeah.
Or is it?
No, that's where it comes from.
If you dealt 98%. With 100 people, 98 people would refer you. Like, do you know how many like clients have? Sorry, let me rephrase that. Do you know how many clients have?
I've never done the metrics on like how many. I just know that when I look at my numbers at the end of the year, whenever I'm doing like where they come from, 98% of them have come from repeat or referral.
Right. Just quickly, by the way, this metric of success is not only designed to make you feel good when you achieve it, it's also designed to help you course correct when you are not doing something, right? So like if you are failing at something, failure is a reality of life at things, but failure is not an end result of something. It doesn't mean like I failed, so I give up. Failure is the idea of just a course correction. So let's say you ran that metric and let's say out of 50 clients, 10 of them referred you people. So you're at 20% referral rate. Okay.
Okay.
Make sense? Would it not be a great goal then instead of saying I want to do 50 deals to say I want, or it's not like that is a great goal, but to add to that goal, I want to increase my referral rate from 20 to 30%.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to do it. Break it. And to be fair, that would help you get to your number a lot easier because you're now working with the people that love you mm-hmm. and they're referring people that you'll probably enjoy working with.
Exactly. And then your whole business is going to be focused around how to get more referrals. Like any training you do will be focused around customer service, will be focused about making a better experience. And mm-hmm. again, knowing you, that fits right into your core need of love and relationships that we talked about last week.
Right, right.
So here's the next question. Okay. So if you bumped up that that referral rate to say 30% and you achieved that and you achieved your 50 goals, but now your husband was about to leave you and your family was falling apart. Would you look back at it and say, this is worth it?
Because I was working too much or whatever?
Yes. Because it was like
on it froze again for me there. No, that wouldn't be worth it. I don't want any of my business to impact my family in a negative way or my life in a negative way. And to be fair, when I was, you know, building a team and doing stuff, I would say that, you know, I remember my kids complaining about like, I didn't cook dinners anymore. They were eating frozen pizza. They were telling my mom on me. And
grandma, and come cook us food.
They were literally telling, because I used to always cook all the time, and they were telling on me. And that's actually when I realized that time blocking was important. Mm-hmm. Because I realized that I wasn't giving enough to my family. So yeah, I would never want my work to impact my family in a negative way.
I really appreciate you being raw and vulnerable on that. Cause like, I kind of mm-hmm. asked that question into my head afterwards. I'm like, oh damn it. Maybe I probably shouldn't have asked that question. So
I don't mind sharing. I'm an open book.
Awesome. So, so here though, in that the raw vulnerability of things, we now have another important metric, right? And this important metric is making sure your home life is in order. And what's interesting is whether you realized it or not, by focusing on this family metric of success that at one point you would have been failing at because your family wasn't getting food and all the rest, it taught
you. Well, they were getting food. It just wasn't homemade.
Well, okay. Yeah. As long as they're starving in a closet with like one blanket.
Like, well, you're going to get me in trouble here.
But that metric of success taught you time blocking. And so you were actually able to still have a big career, but then also manage the other metric of successes with it. Right. So that one healthy metric of success. This is kind of, I guess, kind of why I wanted to bring this up, because so, before I say that last part. Okay, so if you were to look at somebody you admire from afar, so someone you don't know personally, right?
Right.
Yet you look at their business and you're like, man, and maybe you've talked to them a few times, but like, I'd love to have their business. I'd love to be able to do what their production level is. And you make that your goal, that your metric of success. Mm-hmm. These things like family and customer service, are these things that you're ever going to know about in that person's life?
No, not unless you ask, I guess, right? Like, you wouldn't know, no one talks about the negative parts. You don't know how their families might suffer without them, or if they're making time for them. Like, unless you really get a chance to have a conversation with somebody about it, you're never going to know.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at I can't say how many realtors I see complain about either divorces or complain about not seeing their kids. And yet they're very successful realtors. Right.
Right.
Again, it's not about dogging what they're doing by any means. It's just, we don't know enough about them to say that they should be our metric of success. We don't know what they had to sacrifice to achieve that success. And it might be something out of your metric.
Right.
Right. They might be like Dave, who is constantly living in failure and not feeling good enough. And honestly, I don't care how successful someone else is that I admire. I don't want to feel like I fail every day just to try to achieve a success.
That's
a life worth living. Right.
No. Yeah. So I think that you can set realistic goals but really think about what matters to you. Like, it's all so if you want to do this big business, I think you need to look at the effects it has on you. Because let's say even like health-wise, you're not taking the time to stay healthy and exercise and eat well or just take care of you. Like, a lot of realtors burn out, right?
Oh, yeah.
So let's get so successful, but now I have no time for me or take care of myself. And then they get burnt out and then they're tired or they're not producing at that level anymore. And then that's just a cycle of not feeling like good enough every day that I'm not. And when you don't do the things that actually make you feel good, including hanging out with your family or your friends or taking time for yourself or exercising, you will actually never feel great about your goal that you set, because you know that you're out of integrity on the stuff you love to do.
Exactly. So I have a question for you that came to mind. When your life was out of balance with your family life back in the day, right? And again, I can't stress enough to anybody who's listening. Dion has created a big business and is still there in support of her family. Like, these two things can work at the same time. Just because we're having this conversation about metrics does not mean you have to give up a big business, have to give up big dreams and goals because all of a sudden you want your family to feel good. So when you were in that moment though, of out of balance, how did you learn about time blocking? how did you
get this? Well, I mean, it's funny because I feel like in our classes and stuff, we're always taught about it is time blocking. Like you're always told what it is, but if you don't actually do it every day, you never achieve it, I guess. It just, you have to actually do it every day. So time blocking became something that I was learning to, it was a practice. So I learned it through real estate. I learned it from our coaching of that. And I had never heard of time blocking. And then I also have, I have an amazing life coach, Lorraine Lloyd, and she taught me about it as well. Like really, you need to look here and how are you going to sort out your week or your time with your family? And actually when I do time block, I actually put it into a calendar, at the beginning of the year, how many trips I want to take, how many of them with the whole family, the rest of them with just my husband. Mm-hmm. And I also put in my time on the weekends. I always time block Sunday for myself. Like that's my Sunday, because we try to have family dinners or something like that. Mind you, the kids are getting older and they work, so it's a little harder now. But, you know, I put my stuff in first and then I put my work around it.
Perfect. Right. So one of the things I really wanted to draw out of that, and again, thank you for sharing that whole thing, because that's perfect and exactly what I thought it would be. You surrounded yourself with people that not only feel the same struggle as you, because they are taking the time blocking classes, mm-hmm. yet have big lives. You got coaching, you got help, and you got support. And one of the things I want to encourage the listeners to is, I hope that's a part that you really grasped here. Who you surround yourself with will matter in these moments, whether you feel alone, if you surround yourself with people with like just crappy success metrics, you will have crappy success metrics. If you surround yourself with people who just want Lamborghinis and big boats, that's just going to be your goals. You may achieve them, you may not. I don't know. That's just going to be what your goals are, because that's what you surrounded yourself with. Yet when you feel that part of your life missing and you surround yourself with people who have, and I actually, you know what, I'm going to make this clear. Some of the largest businesses I know spend more time with their families. And when you surround yourself with people with large businesses that have learned how to manage this, you find fulfillment in these things. You find fulfillment with your family, in your customer service, following the dreams that abide by great metrics, right? Mm-hmm. And from the story, yes, you had a lot of education. You had, and we take this for granted. I know we do. We had a brokerage that taught us these things. Not all brokerages teach you these things.
Right.
If your brokerage is not teaching you mind, body, and soul balance, then you need to find a brokerage. Otherwise, you will get burnt out.
Yeah.
You'll just be going crazy, chasing the hamster wheel.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, okay.
100%.
So we have about 3 minutes left. I told you we could talk 30 minutes on this.
And you're, I know. Like, how can we talk that long? And well, look at us.
Yeah. Okay. I want to share one more story, and then I want to get Dina's final thoughts, and we'll wrap it up. Okay. So I want to share a very similar story about a young drummer that was a part of a band back in the 1960s. And similarly, the band was going to sign a record label, and the band took him to the hallway and said, "Dude, you are no longer part of our band." And they kicked the drummer out before signing the record label. And that gentleman was replaced by Ringo Starr. This was Pete Best was the original drummer for the Beatles. And he was replaced by Ringo Starr. And afterwards, he did fall in, admittedly, to a huge depression in life. Because his metric of success at that time was based off of the Beatles, what the Beatles did, what they could have accomplished financially. But roughly about 10, 15 years ago, they did an interview with Pete Best, and they talked to him about the falling through of the Beatles and how he felt about it now. And he claims it is the best thing in his life that has ever happened to him now. That now, because of that, he has a good, successful career. He has an amazing wife. He has amazing kids. Right. He is living a life that he wants to live. He doesn't have to worry about on the road tours, people getting to know his name, blah, 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 all the rest that mm-hmm. follows the Beatles. His metric of success was the band. And now his metric of success is how he operates in life. It is how he shows up as a father, how he shows up at his job. And when you compare Pete Best with Dave Mustaine, it is like the night and day difference. I've never heard anything recent with Dave Mustaine, so that this could have changed. But here you have one guy hating, feeling like a failure every day for not achieving big success after achieving big success. And here you have another guy that never went on to achieve this big success, but he feels fulfilled day in, day out. His soul is at peace, right? So as you start your real estate career, as you're in your real estate career, as you're trudging through it, as you're building a big team, my encouragement is to take time and really figure out what your real metrics are of success. Take the time to say, is my metric of success actually 50 deals, or is my metric of success supporting families? Is my metric of success actually bringing in $500,000, or is my metric of success making sure my kids have a warm meal and know who their mom is, right? Mm-hmm. Find out what these successes. And if you are struggling in this balance, if you have this life and you're not feeling like you are achieving these big goals, please reach out to myself, reach out to Dion, reach out to other people in the industry. There are solutions. You can have a big life and a big business with feeling at peace and contentment in your family and in your soul and in the rest of your life.
Absolutely. And I'm happy to share anytime. I'm very, very open to tell anybody about my downs and my ups. So
awesome. Any final thoughts at all?
No, I just think people need to, if you're going to set a goal, really think about what makes your heart sing too. Because if you're not, if you've got this great goal and you're not letting yourself have that heart sing moments, then you're going to always feel like you're just not getting where you want to be. So, and I liked your analogy about the treadmill. So
awesome.
Stay true to you. All right.
Dion, I'm sure I will see you soon. All right. But until next week, everybody, right. I hope you really enjoyed this. Thank you. Again, thank you so much, Dion, for just being vulnerable and raw.
Thank you.
Everybody, man, happy selling. Have a great week.
Have a great week.